Aloha no, and mahalo for joining me for another Long Story Short. I'm Leslie Wilcox. If you know the name Mamo, it's probably because Mamo Howell is one of Hawaii's most successful fashion designers and retailers. Quite an accomplishment for a woman, half Hawaiian, who started her business in her 40s. But that's not where Mamo's story began. As a teenager, she danced hula in Waikiki to help support her family and later became a high fashion model, strutting on runways in New York and Paris. Hawaii's first top model. That was 50 years ago. Let's catch up with her today. In the 1950s, Mamo Howell was known as a high fashion model all over the papers. And you were even described in one caption as Polynesian goddess.
I was.
It must have happened a lot to you because you were just the slinkiest, most beautiful model. And you'd already had three children.
Oh yeah, I'm in reverse. My life is reversed.
How did all of that happen?
No, but you know, I was dancing at the Halekulani Hotel. I was a dancer before I became a model. And I was seen dancing and offered a contract to go to New York to model. And when I got there, I accepted it. It was a very, very good contract. And when I accepted it and went there, they insisted I lose weight. And I thought I was all right. I thought I was hot stuff. I don't have to wear it. No. So I could only eat, they watched my diet. I could only eat, melon and foods that were not full of calories. And I got down to, my goodness, today I'd be a size 4. You know, at that time it was a size 8.
How did the size of the models then compare to the size of the models now? We keep hearing models get skinnier and skinnier and skinnier.
Well, no, we were skinny then. We got skinny then, but it's just that it wasn't called. A size 4 today was a size 6 or an 8 then. That's the difference. Somehow the numbers changed. And I don't know why, if it's because it makes women think they're thinner by the size being smaller, but actually, no, it's the same. It's just the numbers changed, you know. And that's how I got into modeling. It was really through dancing, through hula.
You got discovered.
I guess so. But I was already married and had my three children. I was very, very young.
So. Was that, that must have been really unusual at the time to go away to New York to model when your three kids were home?
Well, yes, but thank God for my wonderful family and my mother, you know, mothers, wonderful mothers. And then I took them with me from time to time. They would come fly with me to New York and especially summertime, then come back here and my family took good care of my husband. Here, so it was all worked out very good.
You're half Hawaiian.
Half Hawaiian.
And in New York, that constitutes being a woman of color at the time.
I guess, yes.
Were you the only one?
Yes, I was. I was. All the other girls were from throughout the country, but there were no black models then. You know, that I don't remember any black models at all.
You didn't just model in New York, then you hit Paris.
Well, yeah, then I was discovered there and I was sent to Paris, and off I went there, and I loved it. It was like I liked the language too, because I'd had a lot of that in school, the French nuns in Sacred Hearts Academy.
Yeah. In Kaimuki.
Kaimuki, and
And you never lost yourself when you were a highfalutin, high fashion model in New York and Paris.
No, never. I always came right home here. This is my home. And not that there aren't many, you know, temptations all over the place. No, I always came home. It's the place to be.
And went to your Hawaiian roots right back from Paris.
Right.
Did you wear real avant-garde or scanty clothing on the runways?
Very. It's clothing I'd never seen before. I mean, the chiffons and the beautiful velvets and what have you. Very, very high fashion. I was working for a company called Nettie Rosenstein at the time. She was like the Coco Chanel of America. And she was famous for her little black dress. And she did a lot of pot de soie. That's what she loved. She seems like pot de soie was her thing. And so we did a lot. The lines were pretty big, large. Like we had four models. We did showroom shows every day at 10 and another one at 2. And the buyers from all over the country would come. But it was very high fashion. We did a lot of the shows at the Pierre Hotel and the Waldorf and all. It was fabulous. It was a great, great experience for a girl coming from Hawaii who's got as far as Kona, you know what I mean? So it was quite an experience.
Hawaii's first high fashion model, the first Polynesian to go global in the fashion industry. That was in the 1950s, amazing. From that heady start, Mamo Howell reinvented herself to become a leading Hawaii designer and entrepreneur. We'll find out how that came about next.
PBSHawaii.org is your online resource for program schedules and information on PBS shows and local productions. Log on and connect to Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox to download transcripts from this and all episodes. Get online and get interactive at PBSHawaii.org.
How do you go from model and hula dancer to fashion designer, business entrepreneur?
Well, you know, you're much like a model, dancer, much like an athlete. There's just so much time you have. The time span for a dancer or a model is it's really short. It's not a long span.
Does somebody have to tell you or do you know?
No, I knew. I wanted to stop before they stopped asking me. So I was talking to David Eldridge at Punahou, and he offered me a job during the summer to do an enrichment course for a summer in the fashion thing and the modeling. So I did, and I just kind of transitioned right there to maybe having a course now. And then I looked around the market and decided that what we had on the market was not of our culture, of the prints and everything. They were lovely, but they were not of our culture at all. They were just florals. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, what they don't have on the market is something I grew up with, and that was a kihei pili, which all Hawaiian mothers made for their children, the little blanket with the flannel on one side. And that. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any on the market. So I designed one of those, and I really started with that baby blanket. That's what I had a hard time selling it too. It took time. And then with that, the quilt, the Hawaiian quilt. That was another thing I didn't see on the market at all, which is our, you know, the art of what the Hawaiian women were doing. My mom, my grandmother, they were all quilters.
And you started when you were in your 50s, right? That's when Mamo really took off.
Just about, yeah. Mid 40, 45, which is crazy. Nobody starts that at that age. But then you have to, because again, you can't go on dancing and modeling forever. It's a young woman's profession. You have to think of something else. I didn't want to be a maybe a clerk in a store, because I didn't think I'd be happy doing that. And so I went into designing. But I did have the background, which, you know, with Nettie Rosenstein and Dior. So I had that background, which is what pushed me on. And then I'd been modeling here, mm-hmm. in Hawaii for most of the manufacturers in town, you know.
So you knew the market.
So I knew the market. Shaheen's, you remember Shaheen's?
Alfred Shaheen.
Alfred did a lot for him. And all of Kahala Sportswear, Nat Norfleet. I worked for him for a while in his office, as well as was his model, showroom model. And so I'd been in it for quite a while, you know.
You didn't start with dresses at all. You started with blankets.
Started with blankets.
Quilts.
Dresses was not even in my head. Started with the quilt blankets and all of that. And before you know it, I had a hard time selling that. So
things aren't going very well.
Things are not flying, no. So then I thought, well, what I have to do then, you know, it's done. The print was done. The screens were done of two prints that I had of the quilt. So what do we do with it? I decided, well, I'm going to make a mu'umu'u with it. And that's when it started. That's when it happened. When the mu'umu'u. Carol and Mary, Nancy Lang. Do you remember Nancy Lang?
Mm-hmm.
Nancy was really the first one to buy my my moves. She bought two. And then Carolyn Mary, right after that, bought some also. But Carolyn Mary told me with my blanket, they bought the blankets too, they said to me, well, we'll take your blankets, your Kihei Pili, if you give it to us first, and you give it to us, you have it for 3 months before you give it to anybody else. Well, what they didn't know is that I'd been out there trying to sell, nobody would buy it. So I said, oh, okay, you can have it first. And I had to make an appearance on the floor and help customers and put in the paper. That's what happened. It started with that. But I really had no intention of doing dresses at the time. It just evolved that way.
And your concept was a high fashion mu'umu'u, and nobody really thought of mu'umu'us that way.
No. They still don't really, you know. I find today that not too many women are wearing mu'umu'us too much.
Oh, there was a newspaper article one day that said, you know, if you want to be taken seriously as a businesswoman, nix the old mu'umu'u.
That's right. So when I came on the market, I did two regular mu'umu'us, so really, you know, the non-fitted ones. And then I decided, you know, there's so much more to fashion than just the mu'umu'u. And I gleaned some of my thoughts and ideas from Dior and Nettie Rosenstein and some of the big designers and put them into fashion, made skirts and tops and different things. And that's where we are at now. Because really, you don't really see a lot of mu'umu'us being worn, you know? But it's more of the older people wearing mu'us.
So as you continue with your business, you can't continue to concentrate on mu'umu'u, long mu'umu'u traditional style.
No. We will never stop making the mu'u. We always will. We'll still do that. But we progress with style and fashion and how things are going. And I subscribe to a magazine that's like the Bible of the industry, Women's Wear Daily, out of New York. And you see the trends that are way before, you know, 6 months ahead of time. But even so, Hawaii is still different from the mainland. I mean, they may say green is in there, but it's not green. I mean, it's not in here in Hawaii. Hawaii is different. We're totally kind of by ourselves.
What are some of the other things? What are some of the other ways we differ from mainland buyers?
Well, the mainland buyers are more gutsy. They take chances. They're right out there. They're demanding something new, demanding something different. They don't want the same thing. Here, they want kind of the same safe things because their heads are on the block. If it doesn't sell, they're in trouble. But that's the big difference I see between the buyers here and the buyers on the mainland.
Do you ever have a huge flop in terms of a dress design?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I had a couple of things we've made. I thought, wow, this is going to be really hot. And it's not. But there again, you know, people who come into the shop, to my shop, they still have this idea that we are just mamo, moo-moo. And it's kind of an unfortunate stigma that's with Hawaiian wear, that it's somehow it's just not quite up to par. It's not quite good enough. It's not. Some of our broadcasters don't wear Hawaiian wear on Fridays. I think you might know who, a few of them. Yeah, but that's okay. That's how they feel. It's not dressy enough. It's just too casual.
I heard one say that, how can I report on the war in Iraq when I'm wearing flowers? That was one of the comments I heard from a newscaster.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. See, we're in Hawaii. I mean, what do you do in New York? I mean, if you're going to be, if you're living in New York in December, of course you're not going to wear the flowers stuff, but in summer, why not? But we are in Hawaii. I think that's the main thing. That's where we are. We're Hawaii. We should be with something of our islands, of our culture, of the coconut trees and the beautiful oceans and the colors and the flowers. And how can you not, you know, be wearing something of Hawaii? I can't see it.
Look at you in your slinky black t-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
You're well past conventional retirement age. I'm sure most people don't realize that.
Well, but aren't you nice? Thank you.
You're closer to 80 than to 70.
Yep. Soon.
So how long do you go on working in this very challenging and dynamic business?
Well, you know, if I didn't love it so much, I think I would be gone already a long time ago. I do love it, but I do feel that I have to start thinking realistically and I've never taken a vacation. And I'm thinking, and even my doctor says, you know, you have to start taking off and don't go in every single day from 9 to 5 or whatever. And he's right, because I do think that I there's a lot of stress going on. And if I didn't love the business so much, I'd be in, what would you say when we were kids, would be in room 13 in Kaneohe.
I remember that expression.
In room 13, remember that? That's where I'd be.
That's an old-time reference to the state hospital on the Windward side. Coming up next, Mom O'Howell shares stories about adversity, success, and legacy, and perhaps how she'll start planning her first vacation.
Get interactive with Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox. Log on to pbshawaii.org and connect to Long Story Short to see who's scheduled to appear in upcoming episodes. Submit questions for them and submit suggestions for future guests. Get involved and get interactive with pbshawaii.org.
One of our PBS Hawaii viewers remembers that you had humble beginnings and wonders of all the obstacles you've had in your quest to achieve, what's been the toughest adversity to get through?
I think the toughest is convincing the buyers that that our culture is not to be pushed aside. I've been battling for like 5 years when I first came out with my designs with like Liberty House. I couldn't get into Liberty House because the quilts, and they never saw that before. They didn't want that. So I had a hard time convincing anybody I went to at first. It took me 5 years before I could get anything on the market at all.
Was it your product, the type of product, or was it the fact that you're a former hula dancer, model, woman?
Well, I think all of that, but mostly the product. But I think all of that, they didn't take me seriously. You know, hula dancer, you know, things in the model, and, you know, the frivolous kind of thing. That also, my designs weren't what they thought would sell. And it did not seem, it was too different. So the buyers have to be safe. They feel they have to be safe.
Well, how did you convince them? Or was it that one Carolyn Mary saying, yeah, I'll
Well, that
take
one
it.
Carolyn Mary thing did start me off with a blank, exactly right. And I got going there with then Nancy Lang. But the really big start was with a fellow by the name of Fred Hasegawa. He was at Liberty House, and he was, I think, the he was a rural manager, one of those. Anyway, he came and he recognized, his local boy, part of wine, Japanese, and he recognized what I had, and he came to my home. He came to my house.
And you had seamstresses at your home, right?
Only one. I had one seamstress and one cutter and me, you know, and he came to my home and looked around, and that's how I really, I mean, the orders really came in big. I mean, I was really doing wow, you know. So that's what happened. But that was my toughest thing, was trying to get us out on the market. We had a hard time. I mean, you're up against the big boys, you're up against the Hilo Hatties and the Tori Richards, whom I used to model for when I was young, and all of them. I mean, Iolani and all their big companies.
You know. And then you became so successful, you had to worry about knockoffs here and there.
The interesting thing about that is I was so naive, I didn't know about knockoffs, I didn't think about it. One of the buyers, she's no longer there, she's retired a long time ago, but she said to me, do you know, Mom, what you should do? She bought my stuff. She said, oh, I love it. She said, what you'd better start thinking of doing is knocking yourself off. And I said, well, what does that mean? What do you mean? Just because you're going to be copied, people are just going to, it's going to be like an avalanche coming down. And I said, really? And she was right, because everybody after that came out with a quilt. It's on every hotel, this, and stationery, and it's everywhere.
But you know, in any business, but particularly I think the fashion business, you can't just start and everything goes along. You always have to sustain the business by reinventing it as you go along.
Always. You have to keep going. And somebody said that to me once a long time ago, but Mom, my blanket, you know, she says, And I said, oh, thank God this. And she said, oh, no. She says, you have to keep going. I said, oh, I guess so. I didn't think about it.
Find something else, do something differently.
You have to. Or you're dead in the water. Then quit.
Have you ever felt dead in the water or like you should quit?
Never. I think that's another thing about, if I wasn't so positive, I wouldn't let anybody talk me out of anything. I mean, what? They say, you're going to compete with the big boys? I'm not competing with the big boys. I'm coming on with something that nobody is doing. No one has. No manufacturer designer out there is doing my look, the quilt and the Hawaiian. Nobody is. So I'm not competing with them at all. I'm bringing something on the market that's brand new. And that was part of my problem too, because that's when they all got on the same bandwagon, you know. But you can't let anybody, you have to be focused and stay there. Yeah.
Do you have a succession plan for the business?
Well, you know, I did. My daughter was supposed to take over, but now she's on the mainland, she can't. But you know, something very interesting has just happened recently. My grandson, who's out of college, he's with a company on the mainland called Cerbae, C-R-B-A-E. And he's been there with them for 3 years, and he's learned an awful lot. And what he's interested in doing is fusing some of my kind of looks with that look and doing another label. His name is Tautua. And he was here for a little while talking with me. And it's very, very encouraging because this is where it's going to him. I think he'll do a good job with it because he's enthusiastic. He loves it. And he's an artist. He's young.
And he's family.
And he's family and he's handsome. And I think that's what's going to happen with him. So that makes me feel a little better because I do need an exit plan. And I have to start thinking of it now, you know, as age comes on, I have to start thinking it's got to go on. And I want my legacy to be there and I want this to continue. I want the our culture in Hawaiian prints and all that to go on because I don't want to do the hokey Waikiki corn things that's on the market. A lot of it is on the market now and has been for years. That's not Hawaii. That's not Hawaiian culture. That's not where I'm coming from. And I think that's where Tautua will take it into the cultural side.
So what if your grandson takes your designs and makes them into something that you would never put up with?
Well, that's gonna be
and you're out of the company by then.
That's going to be interesting. But he's already shown me some things that he's done, and I think he's on the right track. I mean, but that would be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, these kids are. You know what they're going to do.
I think you'd be one unhappy tutu.
Yeah, I have faith in him. I mean, it's got to be something that's going to sell. You know, it can't be so far out. But the company he's with is a very good company, and he's thinking of probably some kind of a merger, maybe, or that'll be very good. I'll be very comfortable with that. Because it's a tough business to handle by yourself. Not easy.
You know, you've done so much in your life, and you've accomplished a lot. You helped to support your family when you were a teenager by dancing hula.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've raised children, you're a world traveler. And you mentioned legacy. Of all the things you've done, is there one particular thing you're most proud of and would like to be remembered for?
My design, I think the fact that I'm bringing out the culture of Hawaii in our motifs and all of that, I'm proud of that. But starting very young and earning money, I remember dancing, yes, and helping my mom because when my father died, he was only 42 years old and left her with seven children. Us. So when I was dancing, I remember making $2.50 a show and coming home and giving it to my mother. And that was good for me. I mean, you understand things then.
Tough to lose your dad at such a young age. How old were you?
I might have been 11. And I was the youngest in the family. So, you know, and you all families have something going on. My mother moved to the Big Island, and we went over with her. My two brothers and I, who were the youngest ones, went over on the Humu'ula. We went steerage.
And the future model was in steerage.
But you know what? It was, we had more fun on steerage because we could run all over the place, go into those little rooms, claustrophobia time. That's what we did. Then you get to Kailua-Kona, and then they have to send the boats out to take you in. I mean, but it was nice. It was a nice time.
So your whole life, you've just kept going, no matter what hit you. You kept going, and you kept believing in yourself.
You have to, yes, absolutely. You have to keep going.
How do you know you're right?
Well, you know, if you let too many people steer you, you'll never. You have to just go straight ahead. I mean, this wandering around, somebody will tug you this way, somebody will tug you this other way, and you can't. You have to just believe in yourself all the time. Not that you're always right. You make mistakes, make wrong decisions. Sometimes I've made many. You know, the thing is, just get back on track as fast as you can and go on.
And she keeps going. This daughter who helped support her widowed mother as a teen. This mother of three who traveled through Europe as a high fashion model. This designer who started a business when she was in her mid-40s. Mamo Howell keeps charming us today. Mahalo to Mamo and to you for joining me for another Long Story Short. I'm Leslie Wilcox. Ahui ho kakou.